There is a saying which goes, for every 100 people who can handle adversity, there is only one who can handle prosperity. The saying is particularly applicable to the people of Israel in the context of their relationship with God. Today's reading, coming from the Book of the Lamentations, it really is this profound prayer of sorrow, a profound prayer of lamentation, expressing contrition for their past sins of forgetting about God, of idolatry, and also ending with a plea that God would come to save them and rescue them. And the context of the prayer is really coming from what we read yesterday, which is the event of the Babylonian exile, when the Babylonians attacked Jerusalem and the country of Judah, sieged Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and Israel was sent into about 50 years of exile. And in the context of that, they recognize that, again, part of the blame has to go for them abandoning their right worship of God and their relationship with Him. And so now we have this act, in a way, of deep faith, and we can see that precisely from this position of adversity that they are now facing, they are reawakened in faith. They're reawakened in their relationship with God, and it's manifested by this deep and profound prayer which is coming from the depths of their soul. Whereas in the time of prosperity, it was very easy to forget about God and to establish a world and reality entirely without Him. In some ways in the Gospel we can see a similar sort of process. Namely, the centurion himself is in a position of adversity. His servant is lying back at home, paralyzed and suffering greatly. And the centurion is greatly sympathetic for the position of his servant, deeply desires to help him, and recognizes, again, in a very profound act of faith, that Jesus is one who can assist and heal his servant. And so he goes and approaches Jesus. He asks that Jesus would heal his servant. And he makes the profound gesture to recognize that the power of Jesus, which is really an act of faith in Jesus' divinity, that the power of Jesus is so great that he does not even need to step foot in the home for the servant to be healed, but only the word of Jesus itself will be sufficient to heal the servant, even at the distance where he was in that particular moment, and the servant is in fact healed. And so again, we see from this position of adversity, an act of faith, a proclamation of who Jesus is, and a profound prayer asking for God's assistance. My brothers and sisters, when we look at our own lives, perhaps we can also see a kind of similar pattern. When things are going well for us, or we're in a position of prosperity, it can be very easy to put our relationship with God on the back burner and think we have everything under control of our own volition and of our own talents and means, and forget about the fact that the reality of the situation is we are utterly dependent upon God for everything. Whereas in times of adversity, it could be our own sickness, it could be the health of a loved one, it could simply be aging, it could be material adversity, loss of a job, or any kind of suffering in that form. In that position, we precisely wind up being more open to our relationship to God, more recognizing of our dependence upon Him, and more in a position to call out with a very deep and a very heartfelt prayer. The reality of our human existence is that we are day to day in a position of adversity, because the greatest danger facing us is really the temptation to sin. That is what ultimately can harm the soul, even if not necessarily always the physical condition of the body. And it's precisely out of that position of adversity that we are called to recognize that we acknowledge our profound dependence upon God, and where we too then are called that our prayer life, that our communication with God would become a groaning from the depths of our spirit, to recognize our need for Him, our desire for Him, and to be able to ask for His assistance and grace. It is no coincidence that at every Mass, prior to receiving Holy Communion, that we make the identical act of faith which the centurion did. which is to say, Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul will be saved, will be healed. And this really then is meant to be a very deep and profound act of faith, cried out from the depths of our being to say, Jesus, you are the Lord, you are the Savior. I need you in my life to assist me to reject evil, to do good, and to love you with all of my heart, mind, and soul. So my brothers and sisters, as we go forward in this liturgy today, let us ask God for the grace that whatever position we find ourselves in life, whether it be one of relative adversity or relative prosperity, that we would always recognize our utter dependence upon God, and that we would every day of our life engage in a profound act of faith to recognize who God is in our life, the importance of our relationship with Him, and that we would truly cry out at every Mass to say, Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul will be healed.